It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic. When I can, I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Welcome to Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana basketball news and discussion, brought to you by the Assembly Call and Inside the Hall. I'm your host, Jared Morris. Join me live at assemblycall.com every Thursday night and immediately following every IU game for our live IU postgame show. And visit InsideTheHall.com for complete coverage of IU basketball and to join the discussion in the Inside the Hall premium forum. On this week's edition of Podcast on the Brunk, we talk about what else? The newest addition to Indiana's roster, Joey Brunk. It was announced on Tuesday that Joey Brunk, the grad transfer from Butler, will be attending Indiana and playing his final 2 years of college basketball at Indiana University. And so we bring in our old friend Dustin Dupirak, who covers Indiana and Butler for The Athletic, to get some insight on Brunk's game, what he brings to the Hoosiers, the needs that he fills on this roster. Then Alex Bozich actually had a chance to have a quick conversation with Joey Brunk on Wednesday morning, so we'll play that for you as well. And then we've got some mailbag questions. We were planning a mailbag episode before the Brunk news came down, so we'll get to some of those, probably save some of those mailbag questions for next week, but we'll certainly get to the Brunk-related questions, and there were several of them. So a jam-packed, very newsworthy edition here of Podcast on the Brink. We appreciate you being here, and we'll start out with our conversation with Dustin Dupirak that's coming up right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, and we are joined by our old friend Dustin Dupirak, who covers Butler and Indiana for The Athletic, to get some insight on the newest addition to Indiana's roster, Joey Brunk. Dustin, always a pleasure to have you here on Podcast on the Brink.
Thanks for having me on, Joe. Appreciate it, guys.
So, obviously, the big news, Joey Brunk, the graduate transfer from Butler, chooses Indiana. I suppose the first question for Indiana fans who are not that familiar with Joey's game, who have not seen him play, what kind of player is Indiana getting?
Pretty athletic big man, basically. I mean, his numbers don't blow you away, obviously. I mean, he was very highly recruited coming out of Southport. I think was 107 in that class, third highest ranked player in the state, I think 14 overall among centers. 6'11 guy, he's got really good touch around the basket. Also, is really good out to mid-range, can hit the occasional three-pointer. Didn't shoot a lot of those at Butler this past year. He was one of three from three. That was not a big part of his game. I think he'd like for it to be a bigger part of his game, to maybe do some more pick and pop than he did at Butler. But you know, I think the thing that really stands out for me is just, you know, he's about 230, so he doesn't have a ton of bulk to him. And I think that causes some issues on the defensive end, and he needs to rebound better than he has. But as far as being an offensive presence, the athleticism really helps. He's really, you know, really quick inside, you know, so he's able to kind of get around guys. And got good sort of mid-range in the paint face-up game, but really good back to the basket, really good at making sort of, you know, sharp turns, you know, hitting little hooks and stuff like that. Good feel for the backboard, good feel for the rim. So that makes a difference, I think. He's going to be able to score the basketball inside. Is he going to be a guy that averages 14? No, I don't think so. I mean, I think if he makes steady improvements and they make a point to get him the ball, you know, he's somewhere in the 10 range. But he was averaging 7.6 a game in 18 minutes, splitting time with Nate Fowler at the five at Butler. Shot, I think, made 61.7% of his shots. So that's obviously a really good number. Really good passer out of the post, 32 assists, 32 turnovers. Wasn't obviously, again, was averaging 18 minutes, so that number's not going to be super high. But, you know, if he gets the ball in the post and he doesn't have an area to turn around, he's good at throwing back out there and finding shooters. And that's obviously was a big part of Butler's game. They lit really, you know, hitting three-pointers, which was a big part of what they did. And the fact that they weren't quite good enough at that was a big part of the reason they weren't as successful as they wanted to be. They had a bunch of guys who could shoot and, you know, just had stretches where they weren't as successful as that as they were hoping to be. But that's I think, the biggest thing. And I think he pairs well with Deron Davis. I think it's a little bit of a change of pace. He's going to be a little bit more athletic, probably going to be a little bit better scorer. You're going to get more from Deron defensively, probably going to get more in terms of rebounding. So the two kind of complement each other well, and I think that really steadies that position.
That was going to, you know, feed into my question, Dustin. It was kind of how he fits into the front court next year. It's obviously going to look a lot different without Juwan Morgan, but you've got Trayce Jackson-Davis and Deron and Joey Brunk. How do you maybe see that trio meshing together and you know, well, I don't think it's a situation where they're going to be able to play Brunk and Davis at the same time. So do you kind of see them splitting the minutes like what he did with Fowler at Butler?
Yeah, absolutely. That's my look. I mean, you know, Davis is a different player than Fowler was. Fowler was going to step out every once in a while. And, you know, pick and pop was a big part of his game, but that's really not a big part of Deron's. I'm just interested to see what they're going to do with Jackson Davis. It sort of takes me back to Cody Zeller's freshman year, when we weren't really sure what they were going to do with him, whether he was going to be a four or a five, because at the time he was still skinny and he was able to put on, 15 pounds to be able to come in and play the five. You know, Jackson Davis comes in a little bit physically bigger. He's not, frankly, I just don't think he's as nasty as Cody was, you know, and I'm talking about Trayce here. So I'm interested to see if he plays the four or the five, you know, what they do with him. You know, if Trayce is going to play 25 minutes a game at the five, you know, then you're really splitting 15 minutes between Deron and Joey. I mean, maybe Joey could play the four, but I don't see it. I mean, I think it's a bigger stretch to ask Brunk to play the four than it is to ask Jackson Davis to play the four, is what I would say. And obviously, Davis is a pure five. There's no way he's stepping out there. So my initial thought is that you see more of Jackson Davis at the four, and you see those two guys splitting time at the five.
Dustin, do you know, from being around Butler last season, do you get any sense of did you get any sense that this was something that was possible, that Brunk would leave? And just from your point of view, why do you think that he made the decision to leave Butler?
I'm not stunned about it. I think, tell you the truth, the guy who's been our real point man for you know, having a real insight into this situation is Scotty Agnes. You guys know him, is our Pacers guy, and has, you know, been in some ways, you know, whether he's been covering the Pacers or something else, he's been involved in this beat, in this, you know, Indiana basketball in general for a long time. And he knows him pretty well, and he kind of had more of a sense of what was going on with him. I mean, I didn't see a guy that was definitively unhappy. Like, it didn't sort of stand out to me that, you know, he was ready to go, but it was apparently something that he was mulling for a long time. I don't know. I don't know. Obviously, he was recruited by Chris Holtmann. So, you know, this LaVall Jordan isn't the guy that he committed to. I don't know if maybe he thinks that there was more that he could have done. Obviously, you know, Joey went through a much different, has been through a much different college experience, because obviously in his, you know, true freshman year was when his father was diagnosed with a brain tumor and then passed away. So obviously that sort of changed the entire arc of his career. He was a really highly recruited kid out of Southport. And, you know, that obviously was a just totally devastating thing. And it obviously certainly takes you a while to recover. Just everything that sort of obviously went into, just from the physical standpoint of the time that he and his family had to put into, you know, taking care of his father for that year, and then mourning after that, obviously just sort of changed the arc of his career. And I wonder, you know, a lot of that has to go into it. But I think, you know, I think he was interested in Indiana, you know, at the time. I know Tom Crean, you know, went after him, recruited him. I think he fits, I think he fits what Archie Miller is going to do with him more maybe than he felt like what Tom Crean was going to do with him. So I think a lot of that went into it. I guess the weird thing for me is that he was going to have a clearer path to more playing time with Nate Fowler graduating. I imagine they're going to recruit some bigs. I think they've got, you know, Bryce Golden, I think, was going to be expected to play a bigger role this year. He was dealing with a shoulder injury most of the season and didn't get minutes till, you know, toward the end of the season. And maybe that's a guy that he sees getting more of the playing time going into next year. And they've got some other guys. Neesy is another guy that's going to get some minutes. So that probably had an impact, maybe seeing that maybe there was fewer minutes than immediately meet the eye. So there's a bunch of factors that I think make sense to it, but I wasn't watching the season and thinking that this is a guy that you checked out and ready to go.
Is this something Butler is going to be able to fix with their roster going into next season, or do you view this as something that's a major problem for them losing him? Because it does seem like he's one of their more important guys coming back for next season, at least on paper.
He was. Yeah, no, it's an issue. I mean, they're you know, on paper, they're going to be more guard oriented to start with. Baldwin's coming back, Aaron Thompson's coming back, Jordan Tucker's coming back, Sean McDermott's going to come back. So those four guys are going to be the core. They lose Paul Jorgensen, so obviously that's a significant issue and a significant loss. But you know, they're already looking at playing small, so you've got to make sure that you've got something. And whoever's going to play at that five is not going to be experienced. So that's going to be an issue. Like I said, Bryce Golden is a guy that shows a lot of promise. For some reason, I think Maurice Hastings is another guy they're going to have. I think he was out with an injury all season. So they've got some guys that are going to have a chance to step up and provide more inside, basically. But it's not going to be you're not going to look at that roster and think that's a strength coming in. That's something it's an issue that they're absolutely going to have to solve. And I think they would obviously feel a whole heck of a lot better going into next year with Joey Brunk than without him.
How do you see Brunk fitting in defensively for Indiana, especially with how Indiana likes to defend and how they like to defend ball screens? You know, he's not a guy who has been a big rim protector in his career. No. You know, his block percentages are pretty low. You know, his defensive rebounding is okay, but as your article on The Athletic mentioned, you know, that's clearly something that he recognizes that he needs to improve upon. And, you know, you look at the guys that Indiana's losing, a guy like Juwan Morgan, who was a really good rebounder, who was a pretty good rim protector and mobile enough in some games to, you know, to defend the pick and roll relatively well. How do you think Brunk fits in there defensively for Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, he has to be able to use, I think, his strengths better than he has. You know, again, he does have a lot of athleticism for a big guy. I don't remember often thinking, man, Joey Brunk is doing work down there defensively. I didn't often think that. But he's got, he's got the athleticism that should be able to defend the pick and roll, should be able to get out there and hedge when he has to, should be able to follow his man when he has to. It is something that he should be good at. But like you said, he has not been a great rim protector. For all the athleticism and height he has, he's not a guy that's getting up there, you know, 6-8 inches above the rim and you know, pinning it. I don't know if it's just leaping ability or what. I guess he's quicker than he is a big leaper. And I think that obviously makes a difference. I mean, Davis is going to be your better defender without any question, but he's got to be at least serviceable that you can leave him out there for extended minutes and not feel like you're really losing a lot there defensively. So he's got to get better. He is gritty. He does work hard, but there's got to be more to him defensively. Even if he's not going to block a lot of shots, he's got to be able, like you said, defend the pick and roll. And the rebounding has to get a lot better. It really fell off, too. I mean, I think he had a couple of really good rebounding games earlier in the Big East season. I think he had one game against Seton Hall where he had 20 and 10. And I think from there, I think he only had as many as 6 rebounds once. And I think the last 9 games, he didn't have more than 4. And I think maybe the last 5, he didn't have more than 2. So when you're 6'11", there's got to be more to it than that. Like you said, when you're losing Morgan, you're going to need more of that. You know, your hope has to be that Jackson Davis is going to be the guy that steps up there and gets, you know, the big rebound numbers. But Brunk's got to be able to contribute more than he has on the defensive end.
How about from just a personality perspective, how does he fit? You know, we spent a lot of time over the past few seasons, it's felt, talking about leadership and who's going to be the vocal guy and who's going to step up and who maybe is going to be the guy to show some emotion on a team, you know, with a lot of guys who are more laid back. How does he fit in terms of that?
I mean, I think he's going to show some emotion. I do think that I don't want to say I definitely don't want to say he didn't fit in with Butler. I mean, he fit in with them just fine. It's hard not to fit in with Butler. I mean, they've got just sort of a bunch of nice kids, more or less. And that's, you know, and I know that's probably an obnoxious thing to say because it feels like everybody says that, but it is true. I mean, like Kamar Baldwin, Aaron Thompson, Paul Jorgensen, Sean McDermott, even Jordan Tucker. It's like they're a bunch of nice guys, and Brunk fit along with that group just fine. But I don't think his emotion necessarily stood out, especially when you've got a guy like Jorgensen, who was very, you know, very demonstrative kid, and, you know, was going to be a little bit more, was going to show that a little bit more. So Brunk did that on occasion, and I think that's going to be there. I mean, whether take charge is not something I've seen yet, and I'm not saying it won't be there. I'm going to be very interested with this team as a whole. I mean, I there are almost too many moving parts on Indiana right now to tell me for me to say, okay, he fits in this way with this guy, because like, who is the dominant, you know, personality on Indiana right now? If we're operating on this presumption that Devontae Green is coming back, because, you know, the NBA is not going to tell him, hey, you need to enter. Then it, you know, like right now it's basically like, you almost have to go over and above Devontae, you know, if you're going to be that guy. And I don't know what that looks like. If it's Devontae Green's team, I don't know how everybody else gets in line. And if it's not Devontae Green's team, if you have to like decide that it's Rob Finney's team and say, okay, like Devontae, you have to, like if you're Archie Miller, in that case, you sort of have to tell Devontae you're taking a step back and this is Rob's team, and I don't care what you feel about that. Then that, I guess after that, that creates an entire different dynamic. Okay, like then how do you prop up Rob and make sure that everybody looks up to Rob in that case? Or, you know, is it Al Durham's team? I mean, like, I don't know what that looks like. I mean, there's just so many leadership dynamics that are basically impossible to determine right now. I mean, or do you bring it in and say it's Chase Daxon Davis's team? I mean, like, what? I have no idea what this group looks like. It is such a moving target in terms of leadership dynamics. Like, I can't even guess what that looks like and how it fits. I think there's potential for it to be there. Like I said, I mean, I think just noticing the Twitter mentions that we've got since you know, kind of posted that I was going to be on here, just the way fans are reacting to what Joey said in his announcement tells me that that's what they want to see. And you know, you look at just what he said about being an Indiana kid and caring about it. I mean, I think he's going to be really motivated, really driven to, I don't want to say change the culture at Indiana, but do something important for Indiana. I think putting on that uniform is going to matter to him. That's for sure. And I think people are going to like that, because I think he's going to be gritty. He's going to get after it. He's, you know, going to really care about the front of the jersey. But again, how that fits in with everybody, you know, what he's going to be like with the rest of those guys, how those guys are going to be just in general. And I really have no idea. Like, I can't even guess what this group is going to be like in 6 months.
Well, that leads into my final question, and you may have just answered it, but I guess your gut feeling, does this addition move the needle for Indiana next year? Like, if we set the bar, the standard for next year at make the NCAA tournament, which I think everybody thinks is fair, and I think is the kind of the baseline expectation after missing it for 3 years, you know, does this to you move the needle and make Indiana more likely to hit that bar?
It makes it more likely than not having him, but it, to me, it's more filling a need that you had to fill. In a sense of like, if you don't have that, if you didn't get that guy, you have a hole. So I mean, this fills a hole that you needed to fill. Does it make them better than they were a year ago? Not necessarily. I mean, it's more so, okay, this is an opening, and you can't go into the season without two viable centers. And now you have two viable centers. So it moves the needle in the sense that it shores you up. But it doesn't say, okay, like, man, they're going to be way better than I thought because they got Joey Brunk. You know, like this isn't a major changing of the dynamic, but it gives you something you had to have. That's sort of more of how I view it, of filling a hole that absolutely needed to be filled, that you couldn't go into the season without having a guy like this, and preferably somebody who's experienced. You know, I don't think you could, with what's left in terms of incoming freshmen, you know, you can't roll the dice that it's going to be another, the five man you get is going to be another Clifton Moore or Jake Forrester. Nothing against those guys, but it's somebody that's not going to be ready. You needed a game ready five man to be able to pair with Deron Davis to give you a fully functional roster that's going to be able to win games. I think they still need something else to move the needle. It helps. It absolutely helps. They are better today than they were yesterday, not having Joey Brunk. But it tells me more from a case that you just couldn't go into it with without another viable five man.
Dustin Dopierak, thank you as always for your insight on Joey Brunk. Make sure you're reading Dustin's work at The Athletic. We appreciate you joining us, Dustin.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Good stuff there, as always, from Dustin Dupirak. Alex, you actually had a chance earlier before we started recording to talk to Joey Brunk. That Q&A, the transcript is posted on the website, insidethehall.com. We're going to run the audio of that right now. Quick forewarning, the audio isn't the highest quality. It's okay. But you were, I think, recording in your car, I believe.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you get a phone call, you take the phone call and you record with what you have. And
yes,
I was in my car outside the local coffee shop where I work sometimes. And Joey was kind enough to take some time. So talk to him for about 5 to 7 minutes, I think it was. And as you said, we posted the transcript on the site and then also recorded it as a segment here for the podcast. So hopefully everybody enjoys the conversation.
Any preface that you want to give to the conversation other than that?
No, I mean, it was, you know, just the general commitment Q&A. I thought it was interesting when I asked him about kind of things coming full circle with Indiana, because one thing I remember from his recruitment, talking to him a lot back then before he made his decision, there was a time where I felt pretty strongly that he was going to go to Indiana, and for whatever reason, you know, things just didn't work out there. And I think, you know, he didn't necessarily see it as the right fit with the coaching staff that was in place previously, but he's always been an Indiana supporter, grew up in the state, obviously followed the program closely. So he has some interesting things to say there about kind of the opportunity now to play at Indiana and finish out his career. So it was a, you know, obviously a brief conversation, but just to kind of give you a little bit of insight into what the decision-making process was like for him, I think he did a pretty good job of explaining it.
Cool. All right. Here now is Alex's conversation with Joey Brunk.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We're pleased to be joined on this episode of Podcast on the Brink by the newest Hoosier, Joey Brunk, who is actually joining us on his way to class at Butler. He's finishing up his studies there this semester before transitioning to Bloomington. What's the last 24 hours been like for you, Joey?
They've been great. I was so excited to get it out there and get out to the public. I got down working out with Trace down at Center Grove and sent the tweet out. Went home, got cleaned up, and had a bunch of family and friends over to celebrate, grilled out, and it was awesome.
So when did you know that this is what you wanted to do? I know there was a lot of schools probably that reached out, and Indiana had been one that you visited, and I know they had a couple of in-home visits with you, but when did you know that this was the next step for you?
I had a pretty good feeling probably Sunday night-ish, you know, like it was, I really, really enjoyed it. You know, just kind of Sunday kind of was like, okay, this really is the place for me. This is where I need to be.
I remember covering your recruitment the first time around as a high school player, and it seemed like Indiana was a school that you really liked. I know you've kind of grown up following the program. Do you feel like this is maybe kind of coming full circle for you, the fact that you got a great opportunity at Butler for 3 years, but I know that Indiana is kind of a special place for you, and do you feel like this is kind of your career maybe coming full circle, the chance to finish up your last 2 years of eligibility in Bloomington?
No, I think that's exactly it. Timing is everything. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to play for Coach Miller, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun the next 2 years.
What was it about the coaching staff and getting to know them that made you feel comfortable with going ahead and committing to IU? I don't think you visited any other schools during this process. What was the relationship there that you were able to build, and what did you like about that relationship?
You know, I want wherever I was going to go, I wanted to be their guy. You know, I want to have that relationship with the head coach, you know, with the assistants, and you know, my freshman year, I played for Coach Schilling at Park Tudor, and I really loved getting to talk to Coach Ostrom, you know, kind of starting to build our relationship. And Coach Miller and I had a lot of really good talks. So it's just kind of a, it's kind of a cumulative effect of all that, kind of coming together, and it's just, you know, it just felt right.
What's your relationship with Trace? I noticed the picture yesterday, you working out with him. What's the background with that, and what is your relationship with Trace?
We both work with the same skills trainer, Jason Smithers, Jason kind of got us together just to go against each other. It's two bigs, you know, so you get live reps against someone your size. And we've probably worked out 10 times together or so, and, you know, it's kind of started to develop our friendship, and you know, just kind of build that. Obviously, you know, we'll both have, you know, someone that we know when we report this summer.
What do you think the practices are going to be like? Because obviously not only Trace, you've got Deron Davis, who you've played against, and he was a guy, you know, he didn't necessarily have the most consistent year because of injuries, but in terms of just his ability, to score around the basket with you, right, Deron, and Trace, it seems like, you know, there could be a pretty formidable front court next season in Bloomington.
Oh yeah, I think practice is going to be real competitive. You know, I think that we're all going to go at each other and push to make each other better. You know, like I said earlier, I think we're going to have a lot of fun over these next couple of years and develop a lot of really good relationships, and you know, hopefully win a lot of games while we're doing it.
Academically, what are you studying now at Butler, and what are you going to have your degree in, and then what are you planning on pursuing when you do get to Indiana?
I'll have my degree in elementary education three, four weeks from now. While I'm in Indiana, I'm planning right now on studying sports management. That's kind of my tentative plan right now. I think that's the way everything's going to shake out, but you know, I don't want it to, it might not be, you know, completely set in stone yet. But
how, you know, a lot of times people will look at a transfer as a negative in terms of somebody left a situation because, you know, they didn't like it. But with you and Butler, it seems like, you know, there's no hard feelings and you're leaving what's been a positive experience. I mean, how will you look back on your career at Butler, and what are some of your fondest memories with that?
Wow, there's a lot of good that happened. You know, I developed a lot of great friendships with my friends, you know, like Paul Jorgensen, who played, Sean McDermott, Campbell Donovan. You know, those are some of my best friends. I'm going to be best friends with them till the day I die. No doubt about it. You know, I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for all the great people that I met. You know, I have I'll have plenty of professors that I keep in touch with. I'll have plenty of classmates that I'll keep in touch with. So, I mean, it's just a testament to Butler. There's a lot of quality people there. And, you know, happy to have those people in my corner.
I'll let you go with this, but what do you want to accomplish over these next 2 years at IU? I know there's, you know, the fans, I think, are, to put it mildly, starving to kind of get back to being a team that makes the tournament. What do you want to accomplish over the next two seasons?
I think if we're going to do it, we're going to set the bar high. That seems to be Coach Miller's personality. That's my personality. You know, I want to go on some NCAA tournament runs. I want to win a lot of games. I'd love to win a couple of Big Ten championships while we're doing it. I think we could do a lot of special things together.
Well, Joey, we appreciate you taking the time. Thank you, and good luck the rest of the semester. And we'll look forward to watching you next season in Bloomington.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, have a good one. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Alex. So we just heard from Joey Brunk himself. You know, I think, you know, you hear it when he talks about his, you know, the affection that he's had for Indiana basketball for a long time. I think Dustin made a really good point that, you know, fans are going to appreciate a guy from Indiana who plays hard, who seems to really understand what, you know, the name on the front of the jersey represents, all of that stuff. And so I think from that standpoint, he seems like a really seamless fit, you know, into the culture of Indiana basketball that fans want, you know, that Archie Miller wants to build. And so that all seems good. And I think it's interesting, you know, he's not a guy, obviously, who put up huge numbers at Butler, you know, who had, you know, even, you know, a starting role at Butler. But when you look at how he fits into this Indiana roster, he was the 107th, ranked number 107 by 24/7, either by 24/7 or the 24/7 composite. But if you look at the rest of the roster that he's on, that makes him the fifth highest recruit on next year's Indiana roster, pending who else comes in. I think the only guys who were ranked higher, Deron Davis, Justin Smith, Jerome Hunter, and Trace Jackson Davis, I believe, were the only four guys ranked higher than that on that 24/7 list. And obviously different places rank guys, you know, different spots. But, you know, it's a talent upgrade for this roster at a position of need. And we'll talk a little bit more about how he fits, because there's some interesting questions about how he and Trace and Race and Deron all fit together down low, given that none of them have proven that they can really make outside shots yet. But I think, as Dustin said, it's undeniable that it fills a hole. It's undeniable that from a talent perspective, it makes Indiana better, just if you look back at the recruiting rankings. So I think overall, you know, despite a few questions that we'll get into, this is a net positive for Indiana, and certainly puts them in a better position to compete in the Big Ten, to absorb, you know, a potential Deron Davis injury, which we've unfortunately seen too many of, you know, going into next season, more ready than they would be without him.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, the main thing for me is Deron's health. I think if he is healthy and has the summer that he's talked about having, he's going to be the starter at the five next season. I just see him as being the more effective player at full strength of the two. And that's not to take anything away from Joey Brunk. I just think Deron offers more on both ends. But he does give you insurance there. And, you know, the interesting thing to me is going to be how they use Trace Jackson Davis. I feel like if you go small, you could probably use him at the five, but they're probably going to want to play him more at the four next season if he can at least make a mid-range shot. And, you know, if he can come to the high post and catch the ball, turn, make a decision, make a pass, make a shot, I think he can be effective there. But, you know, the front court's obviously in a pretty good shape for next season with those three names and obviously Race Thompson. We'll see what he's able to do next season with hopefully a full offseason under his belt. But I think overall Indiana fans should be excited about the kind of depth of the front court and how this addition solidifies things there.
So let's hop into the mailbag. We probably aren't going to get to all of the questions that were submitted because we opened up the mailbag before the Brunk news hit. So we're going to hit some questions that are related to this, related to the roster, and then we'll probably bring back the other ones either for the next mailbag or next week. We'll kind of see on that. But let's start with this question from Quang, which he submitted via audio. So we'll hit that one right now.
This is Quang from the Premium Forum. I actually think next year's team can be better. There's no way the defenses can focus on just a couple of players, and I think the coaching staff will be more experienced. What do you think? Better or worse? Ha!
And I will pair that with this question from Madros that was posted just via text in the forum. He said, back in February, an NBA scout had this to say to Rick Bozich, quote, "I know some people have questioned Romeo because of the season that Indiana's having, but look who he is playing with. They have one guy, Juwan Morgan, who will probably play in the G League. The rest of those guys would be substitutes coming off the bench on the good teams in the Big Ten. It's just not a very talented team." And now the question from Madros. The roster is now, quote, "the rest of those guys. Romeo and Juwan are gone, replaced with two freshmen unlikely to completely fill their shoes. Jared, being ever the optimist, with what we know today, what reasons do you have to feel excited about the 2020 team and this upcoming season?" And so I think right there, Alex, you kind of see the dichotomy, the two different ways that fans are looking at next season. You know, there are people who look at it and say, you know, we can be better because instead of it being focused on just two guys, there can be more balance. You know, things won't be just as dominated by Juwan and Romeo, spread it out a little bit more. It can make Indiana better. But on the other hand, you just lost your two most talented players. And there's a lot of unproven guys kind of being asked to step up into more leading roles. So I'll give my thoughts on it, but what are your thoughts to open up here? Like, which of these do you kind of fall on? And it's kind of hard to answer right now because we need to see the rest of the roster, and we'll get to that. But where are you kind of leaning right now on this question?
I think a lot of it is dependent on what you just said there. You know, we don't know what how the rest of the roster is going to look. If Indiana is somehow able to go either on the whether it's the grad transfer market or just by landing another player that can score and shoot for next season, emphasis on, you know, solid 3-point shooter. I think that, you know, the personnel is there to be better. A lot obviously went wrong last season. There was a lot of games where Indiana just simply did not come with the energy needed to win games. And that's something that can change and better change. I think next season, if the Hoosiers do want to be a better team, but I think sometimes we get too caught up in the, you know, losing specific guys and how that's going to affect, you know, the results year over year. I think each team kind of has to be looked at as its own separate entity, its own separate, you know, just group of players and how they come together. That's different year over year, you know. In a lot of ways, you know, the Indiana team that won the Big Ten the Big Ten title in 2015, 2016, you look at the 16-17 team, a lot of people thought, you know, they had a chance to be as good, if not better, but the chemistry and just kind of how some of the things came together wasn't the same. So I think it can work in an opposite way this time around. You know, if Indiana has you know, more consistent leadership from top to bottom on the roster, and they have, you know, some certain guys that are coming back make the needed offseason improvements, I think the talent is there to be better in terms of wins and losses. Now, they may not be a more talented team because obviously you don't have Romeo Langford on the roster. You don't have Juwan Morgan. But collectively as a group, I think there's a chance to be better. But I preface that with, if they're not going to shoot much better from the perimeter, it's going to be hard. I mean, it's just there's no way getting around that issue. And whether that comes from within guys who are still in the program developing that, whether it comes from the outside, I just think you got to have, you know, two or three guys who are reliable shooters from the perimeter. Otherwise, you just become really, really easy to guard. And next season, looking at the roster, I think, you know, two of the bigger offensive weapons are Deron Davis and Trace Jackson Davis. And where do those guys like to score? Around the basket. If you don't have anybody that can space the floor, you kind of run into the same thing that we saw last season with Romeo having the driving lanes clogged up and Juwan having triple teams at times in the post. It just becomes very predictable and very easy to guard.
I do think that we'll be able to shoot better next year. Now, I think we need to land another shooter, no question about it, whether it's a grad transfer or a guy like Lester Quinones, you know, who's known as a shooter. I think you got to get someone like that in there. I think next season really hinges on Jerome Hunter. I mean, I think he's got to be a guy who can play and really contribute. So those are big question marks. But, you know, I do think when you remove all of the 3-point attempts that Romeo and Juwan took at a very low efficiency and you distribute them more among Devontae Green, Al Durham, Rob Phinisee, you know, hopefully Jerome Hunter, guys who are higher percentage 3-point shooters, Armon Franklin, hopefully being a guy who can do that as well, I think we will shoot a higher percentage from the 3-point range. And hopefully, you know, and Trace and Deron, both guys that are good passers. So hopefully that can help. Now, you know, you're not going to have the attention that Romeo drew driving to the basket. You're not going to have, you know, the term that, you know, Ben Ladner always used to love to use, the gravity that Romeo and Juwan had. So you're going to have to balance that out. But I do think from a percentage basis, we will shoot better and more consistently, you know, be able to put three shooters on the floor. I do have questions about, you know, whether our post guys are ever going to be able to step out and make a shot, but, you know, we'll get to that. The thing is, you know, we, every offseason, there's tons of questions, and we spend all offseason asking these questions. By the way, Demezi Anderson, another guy I didn't even mention there, who's known as a shooter, hopefully he can, you know, be a guy who can do that, but, you know, that's just another person there. But we spend all offseason asking these questions. We have now spent three straight Indiana basketball seasons where basically all of the like 50-50 questions have gone the bad way for Indiana, whether it's injuries, whether it's a guy needing to develop in a certain way and it not happening, whether it's chemistry, whether it's leadership, like these things just haven't happened. I mean, think back to the last three seasons and all the questions that didn't go Indiana's way. Then think back to the 2016 season where it's like, okay, you know, is Bielfeldt going to be able to come in and be an impact? Yes. Is Yogi Ferrell going to take the next step as a leader? Yes. Are they going to be able to fill the hole at the center position? They get Thomas Bryant. You know, like every question that you had about that team was answered positively and they stayed relatively healthy until Robert Johnson's injury at the end of the year. So you know, hopefully by like the law of averages, we'll kind of have a season where those questions are answered in the affirmative. You know, can Indiana stay healthy? Hopefully, yes. You know, does Race Thompson, you know, a guy who was kind of known to be able to step out and hit a three, does that skill, you know, come about this season? That, I think that's a pretty important swing skill for this roster, because if he can do that, you have some more flexibility with him playing the four. You know, Justin Smith, does he, you know, is he able to take the next step as an upperclassman? Devontae Green, what we saw from him at the end of the year, was that real? Was that a mirage? Is Al Durham able to become a more consistent guy and provide 60% of the driving threat that Romeo Langford could, while also being able to knock down a three-pointer? Like, you don't know these things until you see guys in their new roles, and we won't know about the chemistry until we see the guys together. So, you know, I guess my answer to this is, you know, as it says, you know, what reasons do you have to feel excited about the team? I think there's a chance for the chemistry to be better. I think there's a chance for the outside shooting to be more consistent. And I just think, again, by the law of averages, there should be better injury luck for this team. And I think if you have those things, you have a chance to improve. And maybe you don't have the ceiling. You know, maybe you can't blow a Marquette out by 20 points. Maybe you can't win at Michigan State like Indiana did, but you're able to be more consistent and you win at Northwestern and you beat Nebraska at home and you do some of those things that if this team had done, they make the NCAA tournament. So I think there's very much the possibility for that to happen. But again, a lot of questions have to be answered in the positive. And I've spent three straight off seasons, every offseason, kind of talking myself into those questions, you know, being answered in the positive and thinking about the most idealized version of each team. And I'm sure I'll end up doing that as we go through this offseason. But it's, you know, it's important to remember those questions can go either way. We've spent the last three seasons with most of those questions going in the negative. Hopefully now this is a season where we get to answer some of those questions in the affirmative. And if so, there definitely is the potential for this team, even if it's not, doesn't have the highs, to be a more consistent team that wins more games. I think that's well within the realm of possibility.
Absolutely. I agree with almost everything you said there, Jared. Well said.
So IU lore, and we kind of hit this, but does Indiana need to land another recruiting piece other than Brunk to have a decent chance to make the NCAA tourney next year? I will say, even if we had nobody else, I think we have a decent chance with the roster we have, if Jerome Hunter is healthy. Like, right, I feel like his health is the biggest recruit, you know? But there are definitely pieces that could make it more likely, you know, and I think we hit on it. You got to get a shooter. I think another wing scorer, both just to add more potency and as insurance against, you know, Jerome Hunter maybe not being able to play, that would be huge. And I think the other thing is an experienced ball handler. You know, someone else who can come in and provide stability and depth in the backcourt. I think both of those things, if you can get those, I would feel a lot better about where Indiana is.
Yeah, you look at what Louisville did this past season. Chris Mack's first year, he went out and got two grad transfer guards, and that was really the difference for them making the tournament last season. And, you know, the other thing, I mean, there's 600 or 700 transfers out there. Jeff Borzello put out a really good list yesterday over on ESPN.com of the top 50 or top 100 available. There are guys out there. It's just finding the right fit and being able to provide the right opportunity, because most of these guys who are transferring are looking for bigger roles. I don't think that was necessarily the case with Brunk. Obviously, he wanted to play at Indiana, and I think there's a chance for him to have a more substantial role than what he had at Butler. But a lot of the guys who you're targeting in these situations are going to want to come in with and be able to do more than what they did at their previous school, and that's not always possible. So finding the right fit, even if it's a guy who only plays 15 minutes a game, but if you can shoot 40-42% on three pointers, you know, that's a huge addition potentially. I mean, I think Archie Miller right now would love to get a guy like remember what Nick Zeisloff was able to provide the program, just have a guy who's a knockdown shooter, and that just really would be a game changer for the roster. So, you know, Jerome Hunter is important. And, you know, I think they do have the pieces in place now to have a chance to make the tournament, but I think they would feel a lot better about where they stand if they can go out and just get a guy who's a reliable shooter. And last year, I think they felt like they had that with Evan Fitzner, but it didn't work out. So these situations are an imperfect science. You know, I mentioned yesterday in the brief Brunk commitment post that I did, you know, Indiana's, in my opinion, since they've really had the grad transfer rule, they're 2 for 4. I mean, Evan Gordon and Evan Fitzner, I think, We would probably agree neither one of those situations worked out. And then Max Bielefeld and Nick Zeisloft, I think both worked out. So it's hit or miss on these situations. You have to hope that you get the right player and the right fit. Otherwise, it can be a missed opportunity.
This wasn't a question, but I do want to talk just a little bit more about how these post pieces fit. Because, you know, Duran and Joey Brunk, both very efficient offensive players with really similar profiles. They're high percentage, you know, 2-point shooters, not great free throw shooters. Neither one has really shown the ability to step out and face the basket and hit shots. Trayce Jackson-Davis, we know, a very good athlete, you know, a good post scorer. I'm curious to get your perspective on him. Is he a guy that you project, you know, his first year can step out and hit a 10, 12-foot shot facing the basket? Because if not, you know, you know, and especially if you kind of put Justin Smith in that mix, who is, you know, proven to be a very inconsistent shooter, you know, that is one concern that you project to pretty much always have two non-shooters on the floor. Not that you can't win with that, but, you know, it's nice to be able to spread it a little bit more. Like, how do you see all those different pieces fitting?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but the interesting thing to me is how they kind of balance the minutes between Jackson Davis, Smith, Deron Davis and Brunk, because I don't, like I said in our conversation with Dustin, I don't think you can play Davis and Brunk at the same time. That's just, you know, that's just two really back to the basket centers. That's not going to work. But Jackson Davis to me has to, you know, you got to try to make that work with him at the four, I think, because it also, you know, I don't think you want to throw him in the post against some of the Big Ten's best big men and make him guard those guys on a night in, night out basis every game. So if he can play the four, which I think he can, he's skilled enough. He can handle the ball a little bit. He can step out. I wouldn't necessarily think that he's going to have much of a 3-point game next season, but he can step out to 10, 12, 14 feet and make shots consistently. He's got a pretty good touch on his shot. So I think the best case scenario for Indiana next year is to be able to take Brunk and Davis, split the minutes at the five, and then have Trayce playing more of a four role, and then figure out kind of where the other guys fit around him. I mean, Jerome Hunter is a guy, if you went in a small lineup, if he's healthy, could play the four. Justin Smith's obviously a really talented player who has played the four for most of his IU career. But, you know, how is he going to be able to improve his perimeter shooting enough to kind of keep him in the lineup and kind of in line with the guys who are going to be nipping at his heels for minutes? I just think that the roster in general in the front, you know, Race Thompson's another guy. You have a lot more options and kind of mix and match combos, things you can do, I think, next season. And, you know, I kind of looked at the Brunk addition as you're basically filling Clifton Moore's spot, right? They're going to fall in kind of the same line in terms of their eligibility. And I think we saw enough of Clifton Moore to know that he wasn't ever really going to develop, and to be able to get a guy who's, you know, what, 8-4, 8-5 last year in the Big East and replace Clifton Moore with that, I think that's a step in the right direction for the roster. But, you know, if Trayce can't make shots away from the basket with any consistency, then you've kind of got a logjam up front too. So it'd be interesting to see how all that plays out. And I think it's a question that's impossible to answer until we see how, you know, Archie Miller chooses to use those guys next season.
Yeah. All right. So I think we'll save most of the rest of these mailbag questions for another time. They're great questions and I want to get into them, but let me ask you one more, because there is a lot of recruiting stuff happening now. There's a lot of tournaments, you know, starting to go on. And as Majro said, you know, I went to the EYBL event in Westfield last year. I'm looking forward to attending again in a few weeks. With the 2019 class, I knew exactly the guys to watch, but it's been less clear with the 2020 class. And Jack Tuck kind of asked the same question. Who will Archie look to prioritize in the 2020 and 2021 classes? So as we start to see a lot of these tournaments and guys playing games, who are some of the names that you think Indiana fans should be paying most attention to? And, you know, and I think Indiana fans, you know names like Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal, guys who don't have Indiana offers yet, but that Indiana is recruiting and involved with. And it'll be interesting to see how that evolves. A guy like Ethan Morton is a name that's been, you know, around for a long time from out of Pennsylvania that Indiana's made a priority. Who are some of the other ones that folks need to keep their eyes on?
Well, you hit on most of them there. I think in terms of the 2020 class right now, I think it's you know, that's one reason I've kind of stopped making recruiting boards 2 and 3 years out, because I went and looked a couple of the old ones, what I started with and then what I finished with evolved so much, because just because somebody gets an offer doesn't necessarily mean that Indiana or the kids are going to follow through on that. But Ethan Morton obviously is a guy that has been prioritized now for a long time, and I think Indiana's right there. And I think that may be one reason that they've held off for now on offering Galloway and Leal. If they can get Morton, I'm not necessarily sure that they're going to take Leal or Galloway. Now, I'm not saying that you couldn't take both. And my personal, this is my opinion, I would take Leal right now if he wanted to commit. I just think he's a guy that you can, that can be a useful Big Ten player. Even if he's just a rotation depth guy, he's a good shooter and a guy who I think is going to continue to get better. The fact that Virginia is starting to take a look there.
I thought the same thing when I saw that. I was like, hey.
Tells you all you need to know. He's a Bloomington kid. I'm not sure exactly what the plan is there with him. But, you know, if you could, I think if you could grab him and Morton, you're off to a great start in 2020. And then looking beyond, I mean, obviously there's going to be names. We'll see who they watch in April. And there's been some opportunities added in June and July this year to watch guys in some different settings. So we'll see kind of how that evolves over the summer. But in 2021, obviously the headliner right now is Christian Lander, the point guard from Evansville Wrights. Indiana's been as aggressive as any school recruiting him. Obviously Archie Miller was down, I think, there recently to watch him work out. Another kid from Fort Wayne, Caleb First, is another guy, in-state guy to watch. But I think you're going to continue to see Indiana work the Midwest area really hard. And then when they need to kind of go outside that area, they're going to be able to try to get to kind of fill some holes. But, you know, right now I think 2020 is, I mean, the coaching staff still has to fill out the 2019 group, right? I mean, the next year's roster is not necessarily set. So I think more or less the 2020 class, you're going to learn a lot going through these evaluation periods, who sets up visits, who Indiana watches, and then going into the fall, which is really kind of the hot time for official visits to heat up. But Morton definitely right now at least seems to be the clear cut name at the top of the 2020 board if I was to release one.
Man, it's crazy. You know, recruiting has always been kind of a year-round thing for coaches that you have to do. But now with grad transfers and just how many more regular transfers there are, I mean, and you got guys leaving. I mean, it is, if you don't like recruiting, you're not going to last very long in college coaching anymore. Because, I mean, you have got to be locked in at all times.
The grad transfer is basically like free agency at this point, right? I mean, it's literally, I mean, there's 600 or 700 guys that are leaving their schools, and you got this transfer portal now. And it was interesting to read Jeff Borzello's take on that. He also had another piece kind of explaining the transfer portal, and he explained it as certain programs just have a person or somebody who's like constantly going in there to check for new names to see like who's out there. And really, I mean, it's such a fluid situation. And in Indiana's case, having three available scholarships, you know, well, now they have two, obviously, but after the Brunk commitment. But, you know, I think more than anything else, they're probably going to want to try to clear things up and try to solidify next year's roster before they dig too deep into 2020. I'm sure they have a list of guys that they really like in that class and are going to try to start setting up some visits. But first and foremost has to be solidifying next year's roster, because, Jared, we've talked about this. I mean, next year, to me, you know, the first year of Archie Miller, no postseason – last season was the NIT to continue to show progress. In year three, I think you need to make the NCAA tournament. And in order to do that, you have to make sure you have the best roster possible.
Yeah, it might not be worth spending time on 2021 if you don't take care of business in 2019. So that's, you know, that's just where we're at. All right, so we have Assembly Call Radio coming up Thursday night. We'll be talking more about Joey Brunk. Ryan will have watched the tape and give us his patented Joey Brunk scouting report. So we'll have more talk about that then. Alex, next week, obviously, we will use Podcast on the Brink to cover any breaking news, but we may, you know, pick up some more mailbag questions, you know, cover some more of these topics, but it'll just be fluid based on what news breaks. That's what we'll talk about, and that's kind of how we'll use Podcast on the Brink this offseason to cover the team, as we always do. So,
absolutely. Happy Easter, everyone, this weekend. Enjoy some time with your families, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Our thanks to Dustin Dupirak for joining us. Make sure you read his stuff at The Athletic. And, of course, our thanks to Joey Brunk for hopping on with Alex as well. We will talk to you guys next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcast on the Brink. We always appreciate you being here. Remember to join me and my co-hosts for more IU basketball talk at assemblycall.com and visit Alex over at insidethehall.com for complete coverage of Indiana basketball. If you want to support Podcast on the Brink, here is the single best way to do it. Tell anyone you know who loves IU hoops about us and suggest that they subscribe. Podcast on the Brink can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else podcasts are available. Tell your social media followers, email your friends, text your family members. For weekly discussion about IU basketball, they need to be subscribed to Podcast on the Brink. We'll talk to you next time. Go Hoosiers.